Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks slump as Apple warns the coronavirus will hit sales.
New infection numbers stoke hopes that the outbreak is nearing its peak.
HSBC announces massive cost cuts with plans to slash 35,000 jobs.
U.S. futures fall, oil tumbles, and 30-year Treasury yields dip below 2%.
The Boy Scouts file for bankruptcy, plus ex-National Security Advisor Bolton warns of possible White House censorship of his memoir. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, the Islanders come up short in the desert, a disturbing crash at Daytona, and the Yankees and Mets have officially reported to spring training.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Asset managers can exceed new thresholds for data management, reporting, and responsiveness. Transform your business with SEI's global operating platform at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are tumbling to start the week, 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 13 points, Dow futures down 142, NASDAQ futures down 66, the DAX in Germany is down about 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 11 30 seconds, yield 1.54%, the yield on the 2-year 1.39%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 79 cents at $51.26 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $3.90 at $15.90.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0829 against the dollar. The yen 109.73. We are watching earnings from Walmart crossing the Bloomberg. Fourth quarter profit and revenue missing analyst estimates. We'll have details straight ahead. Nathan.
Karen, thanks. The economic hit from the coronavirus is starting to affect corporate America now. Apple says its quarterly sales will miss forecasts as the outbreak hurts both supply and demand. Some analysts predict a quick rebound, while others worry the effects could linger. Dan Ives as Managing Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities.
We think this is more of a timing issue, and you'll see a significant rebound to June and September in terms of iPhone demand, which would also be across the supply chain. So I view it more as a timing issue rather than one that significantly dents demand.
Apple says factories in China are getting back to work slower than expected, while most of its retail stores in the country remain closed. Mehdi Hosseini is Senior Analyst at Susquehanna Financial.
This is not entirely surprising. I think the number one question is more to do with not knowing what happens to the demand. If there is a demand destruction that is going to sustain for more than one or two quarter, we could actually see more of a broad-based slowdown.
Tech stocks in Europe and Asia slid on the forecast from Apple. A flight to safety has the yield on 30-year treasuries below 2%, its lowest level since September. Alicia Garcia Herrero is chief Asia-Pacific economist at Natixis.
You're bound to have supply chain effects because China is at the center of the supply chain. Frankly, the stock market doesn't want to hear this news. Everybody's trying to cry at the fact that the supply chain constraints will affect them. The stock market will react. It's just a question of time.
NASDAQ futures are down 0.7% as Apple weighs on the index. Shares are down more than 3% in the pre-market.
Meantime, the coronavirus continues to spread, though the number of new cases shows signs of stabilizing. We get the very latest now from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The total number now for China in terms of infections, almost 72,500. The numbers of fatalities, 1,868. And the numbers out of Hubei province have risen at the slowest pace since this change in methodology last week. So certainly that's a positive. But it's worth reiterating the comments that we've heard from the World Health Organization, who've said, look, it's still too early to say if this is truly declining.
Colleges and schools in Shanghai will remain shut through March, while casinos in Macau reopen on Thursday. A top expert in China says the outbreak could peak in parts of the country this month.
A concern over the virus and its impact on Apple weighed on stocks in Asia overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nikkei 225 fell 1.4% in Tokyo to 23,193 points as Apple suppliers including TDK and Tokyo Electron were sold off. In China, the CSI 300 gave back some of Monday's stellar gains, but still remained above pre-Lunar New Year sell-off levels. In Seoul, the Kospi was down 1.5% as President Moon Jae-in said the spreading of the coronavirus is an emergency for South Korea's economy and called for extraordinary steps to minimize its impact. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. In London, HSBC is warning the outbreak will impact performance this year. We spoke exclusively with Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson.
I do think we're going to have to take some additional provisions this quarter as a result of that, but very much a call on how long does the virus continue for.
At the same time, HSBC is announcing a dramatic overhaul. It plans to slash about 35,000 jobs at underperforming units in the U.S. and Europe.
We're going to be quite surgical and ruthless in terms of targeting those parts of the business where we're not generating acceptable returns. We're going to take those risk-weighted assets and reinvest them in parts of the business where we can see much better returns.
HSBC is targeting cost reductions of $4.5 billion over a three-year period. For more on those cuts and exactly where they could hit, we bring in Bloomberg London finance reporter Harry Wilson.
You're really looking here at Europe and the US, and in particular looking at the investment bank where a lot of these cuts are going to come. Quite a bit of this could come through some asset disposals. We obviously know that the French retail bank is on the block, and then you've also got chatter about Turkey, Oman, and several other countries which could also be cut. So it's not hard to see how they get to that 35,000 job cut number.
And with those reductions in the U.S. and Europe, HSBC plans to accelerate investment in Asia despite risks from protests in Hong Kong and the coronavirus outbreak. We get more from Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth.
It's doubling down on its Asia presence. That's where it makes all its money. 90% of its profits have traditionally always come from Hong Kong. It's quite a gamble in theory with regards to what happens as far as China's economy and Hong Kong in particular. But nonetheless, it's telling you that it's too tough for the scale of its risk-weighted assets and its capital it has in Europe that it can make better money in a less competitive, more monopolistic market share that it has in Asia.
HSBC is taking more than $7 billion in charges related to the restructuring. Shares are down more than 6% in London.
And more on those earnings from Walmart we mentioned earlier. Earnings per share missed estimates, as did forward guidance for comparable sales. Walmart shares are down 0.75% in early trading. Futures are moving lower ahead of the open as well. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The Boy Scouts of America has filed for bankruptcy protection as it faces a barrage of new sex abuse lawsuits. The filing today in Wilmington, Delaware, is an attempt to work out a compensation plan for abuse victims that will allow the organization to continue. Several thousand men filed lawsuits who say they were molested by scout leaders decades ago. The organization could be forced to sell off some of its vast property holdings. More than 2,000 former Justice Department officials are calling on Attorney General William Barr to resign. In a rare statement, Mr. Barr's actions in doing the president's personal bidding, unfortunately, speak louder than his words. Democratic Senator Ben Cardin was asked if the Department of Justice still has credibility.
I think they're great people, independent people who work for the Department of Justice. I think its leadership has badly soiled the reputation of the Department of Justice.
Prosecutors withdrew from the Roger Stone case after Barr overruled their sentencing recommendation. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton is concerned the Trump administration could block his memoir that describes his interaction with the president over Ukraine. Bolton spoke at Duke University. Democratic presidential candidates are campaigning ahead of Nevada's caucuses on Saturday. DNC Chair Tom Perez.
There's no app being used to tabulate. That was a problem in Iowa. And again, I think one of the lessons I learned from Iowa is we're redoubling our efforts to make sure that people are ready for Saturday.
Michael Bloomberg is qualified to join the other Democratic presidential candidates on the debate stage for the first time tomorrow night. According to an NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll, he reached 19% support in the national poll released today. His fourth with more than 10% support, meeting the DNC's debate threshold. Bernie Sanders is first with 31%. Michael Bloomberg is second. Joe Biden is third with 15%. Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos announced the creation of the Bezos Earth Fund. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Bezos says he's starting with $10 billion and will begin to issue grants in a few months. On an Instagram post, he says it's going to take collective action from big companies, small companies, nation states, global organizations, and individuals. We can save Earth. Now, he's been under pressure from employees for practices they say will injure the Earth long term, things like packaging. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Islanders had the New York sports landscape to themselves on Monday, but they fell in a President's Day matinee 2-1 in Arizona. Islanders coach Barry Trotz.
We talk about a game of inches. It's really a game of centimeters right now. Our team kept battling, and that's something that's a real positive. I mean, I thought, as much as they deserve to win that game, so did we.
Anthony Beauvillier had the lone goal in the third period for the Isles, who were tied for third in the Metro Division with the Blue Jackets. Both New York teams are off on Tuesday. The Devils face the Champs, the Blues, on the road at 8 o'clock. NASCAR held its Super Bowl, the Daytona 500, Monday after rain postponed the race 24 hours. All eyes were on one of the most horrific crashes witnessed in years by Ryan Newman, Executive Vice President Steve O'Donnell.
Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are non-life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time. We appreciate your patience and cooperation and will provide more information as it becomes available.
Denny Hamlin took the checkered flag, his third win at Daytona. Baseball, Yankees and Mets have reported to Florida. Yankees skipper Aaron Boone asked if they'll be beating the Astros for sign stealing.
We won't be in the business of, going after or throwing at people on purpose. And, we'll just have to see how everything unfolds, but I don't expect it to be an issue for us.
The Yankees' biggest offseason acquisition, pitcher Gerrit Cole, was part of that now infamous 2017 World Series championship team in Houston. College hoops, Xavier went on an 8-0 run to beat St. John's 77-74 at the Garden. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Okay, Rob, thank you. S&P futures are down almost 14 points now. Dow futures lower by 149 points. NASDAQ futures down almost 69 points. 10 years up, 12/32, yield 1.54%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors, dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Walmart shares lower, but they have trimmed their declines. They're down 0.5% right now. This is after its forecast for a 2021 missed analyst estimates. S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 152, NASDAQ futures down 72, 10-year Treasury up 12/32, yield 1.54%, NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% or 77 cents at $51.28 a barrel, COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.20 at $15.90.70 an ounce, the euro 1.0835 against the dollar, the yen 109.71. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you, Karen. Michael Bloomberg is qualified to join the other Democratic presidential candidates on the debate stage for the first time tomorrow night. According to an NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll, he reached 19% support in the national poll released today. He is fourth with more than 10% support, meeting the DNC's debate threshold. And we should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. In sports, Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500. Meanwhile, Ryan Newman is in serious condition after a horrific crash. In the NHL, the Islanders lost along with the Capitals. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and holiday shortened week ahead. Joining us from New York, Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk at Bloomberg News. In London, we're joined by executive editor Heather Harris, and we're pleased to have editor Madeline Lim with us from Hong Kong this morning. Let's start with you, Joe Weisenthal, because for weeks, the overriding story for markets has been the potential effects of the coronavirus, and now Apple is dominating that story this morning, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been extraordinary the last few weeks, the degree to which this market has been able to shake off the obvious risks posed to the global economy by the coronavirus, but Apple really sort of putting a point on it and reminding everyone how serious this is, getting hit in China on the supply and the demand side. Not surprising either in either side, because we know that factories have been slow to reopen. We know how exposed their supply chain is to Chinese manufacturing. And, of course, on the demand side, China's still a very significant source of demand for new iPhones and so forth. And we know that so many of those stores have either been closed or that people aren't going out to shop as much. And I just think, in a sense, it's not surprising because everyone could have anticipated this seeing the news. But on the other hand, really focusing the concentration of minds today back on this story.
As for the coronavirus itself, Madeline Lim, aren't there signs now that at least the spread of the pathogen may be stabilizing somewhat?
Yes, stabilizing indeed, Nathan, and potentially the numbers of new infections and deaths slowly declining. But nobody really wants to, can even, or feels competent of calling a turn in the trend or a peak or anything like that. And it still bears watching. I think what dominated headlines today here in Asia was the fact that a senior hospital official in Wuhan itself died today of the disease. And this is the seventh health worker in China to die, and about 1,700 health workers are among the infected in China. So this has triggered some backlash and some, against the authorities and some criticism. So that part is not over yet. And as Joe said, the economy has been running well below its potential, like at least 40 to 50% below capacity, according to our own economist here at Bloomberg Economics. And so what we'll be watching in the days coming will be how traffic, how flight path plans and things like that recover, in order to see whether people are actually coming back to work in factories, and also whether this crackdown that we've seen that has closed down a lot of the cities where people are no longer allowed to leave their residential compounds, whether that will be eased up or not.
One of the other big corporate stories we're watching this morning is HSBC's earnings, Heather Harris. Some major cost cutting on the way for the big bank.
That's right. So this is Noel Quinn, the interim CEO's. It's his plan to restart the bank, and it's the most dramatic overhaul this bank has announced in many years. However, big numbers, 35,000 job cuts, $4.5 billion of cost reductions at underperforming units, $7.3 billion of charges. It's not enough. A lot of analysts are saying this is too conservative, and the shares as we speak are down nearly 6%. The other big unknown is who's going to execute this strategy, since HSBC, after 7 months now, has still not named a new CEO.
Joe Weisenthal, back to you with earnings that just crossed the Bloomberg terminal moments ago from Walmart. And this is a double whammy of a miss for investors.
Yes, Walmart, the major retailer, coming out and saying that its Q4 sales did fall a little bit short. Same store sales, which is, of course, a key metric, only gaining by 1.9%. Expectations were 2.4%. There's just, it's one of these things. There's a lot of general reasons why people can cite weakness and warmer weather or something, or lack of really must-have items. But something that we've seen across the retail landscape, just the holiday season didn't seem to be that hot. Also, e-commerce sales expected to grow 30% this year. That's down from 35% last year. That's a key category. So all in all, just not a great report from Walmart, but the size of the sell-off pre-market is fairly modest, less than 0.5% right now. So to some extent, it appears investors were anticipating this.
All right, let's go back to Heather Harris in London. Some possible deal news with Italian banks, Heather?
Yeah, here's something we did not expect at all amid all the scares about the coronavirus. An audacious, unsolicited takeover bid by Intesa San Paolo to take over local rival UBI, Unione di Banche Italiane. And while this takeover was offer was being launched just before midnight in Italy, the CEO of the target was busy or had just unveiled his three-year strategic plan in London. So he was completely blindsided by this. So it's the talk of the town. Will this get done? Will this spark further consolidation in the Italian banking sector and indeed in Europe?
Heather Harris, Bloomberg News executive editor, with us from our London studios this morning. Also, thanks to Bloomberg editor Madeline Lim, joining us from Hong Kong, and Joe Weisenthal, head of the America's News Desk for Bloomberg News, with us this morning from Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York City. S&P futures are lower by 13.5 points at the moment. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover, the Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover. Above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are falling as Apple says quarterly sales will miss forecasts. That's unnerving investors who had hoped for a limited impact from the deadly coronavirus. Mehdi Hosseini covers Apple for Susquehanna Financial.
It's more than just Apple, and I think Apple, it's pretty much a tip of the iceberg. I think other companies will come out and use the Apple as an excuse to reset the bar.
Tech stocks in Europe and Asia slid on the forecast. A flight to safety has the yield on 30-year treasuries below 2%, its lowest level since September, and shares of Apple are down more than 3% in the pre-market.
Meantime, there are new developments on the virus and the stricken Diamond Princess cruise liner. For that, we turn to Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
China reported 1,886 new coronavirus cases and 98 more deaths. Britain, the latest to evacuate nationals from the cruise liner following Japan, the U.S., Australia, and South Korea. In the meantime, the Hong Kong government is seeking $3.6 billion in spending on virus control. And in neighboring Macau, casinos now look set to reopen on Thursday after being shut for 15 days. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Walmart is out with earnings and comparable sales that missed estimates. The company also issued guidance that fell short of expectations. Shares of Walmart are down 0.25% in early trading.
In Europe, HSBC plans to cut about 35,000 staff from its workforce. It'll also take more than $7 billion of charges in a sweeping overhaul. We spoke exclusively with Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson.
We're going to be quite surgical and ruthless in terms of targeting those parts of the business where we're not generating acceptable returns.
Most of those cuts will target staff in the U.S. and Europe. Shares of HSBC are down more than 6% in London.
In deal news, Bloomberg News has learned Franklin Resources is nearing an all-cash offer for asset manager Legg Mason. The deal would create an investing giant with more than $1 trillion in assets under management.
And Dell Technologies is reportedly near a deal to sell its RSA security to a private equity firm. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says STG Partners is seeking to buy the unit for more than $2 billion.
S&P futures are lower, down about 13 points. Dow futures down 147. NASDAQ futures down 68. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 11/32nds. Yield 1.54%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.39%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 79 cents at $51.26 a barrel. And the British pound is at 1.3034 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit CommandFinancial.com today. Now here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The Boy Scouts of America announced today that it has filed for bankruptcy protection. The filing comes as the 110-year-old organization faces lawsuits claiming it failed to remove known sexual predators from the organization. The filing puts those lawsuits on hold while the court supervises the payment of some claims. The Federal Judges Association is calling an emergency meeting to address Attorney General William Barr. It comes as more than 2,000 former Justice Department officials are calling for the resignation of Barr. Last week, four career prosecutors withdrew from the case after Barr overruled their sentencing recommendation for Roger Stone, former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, Arianna Berg.
Though it may not result in the resignation of Bill Barr, my hope is that this becomes a battle cry across all parties for the oath of preserving the integrity and the impartiality of the Department of Justice that I love so much.
Michael Bloomberg has qualified to join the other Democratic presidential candidates on the debate stage for the first time tomorrow night. According to an NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll, he reached 19% support in the national survey, is fourth with more than 10% support, meeting the DNC's debate threshold. Bernie Sanders is first with 31%. Michael Bloomberg is second. Joe Biden is third with 15%. And we should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos says he's created the Bezos Earth Fund to help counter the effects of climate change. More from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
Bezos is starting with $10 billion and will begin to issue grants in a few months. In an Instagram post on Monday, Bezos said to save the Earth, it's going to take collective action from big companies, small companies, nation states, global organizations, and individuals. Amazon has been criticized, both internally and from outside the company, for heavy fossil fuel use in its ubiquitous delivery of goods. Bezos is under pressure to offset the environmental consequences of the rapid growth of online shopping. The world's richest person, Bezos has a net worth of more than $130 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. NASCAR is the only major sport to begin its season with its championship event, the Daytona 500. Scary moments in the final lap when Ryan Newman, who was leading, crashed in a ball of fire, skidded across the finish line on the roof of his car, taken to the hospital, and remains in serious condition, according to Senior Vice President Steve O'Donnell.
Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are non-life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time. We appreciate your patience and cooperation and will provide more information as it becomes available.
Denny Hamlin won the race for the third time in his career, including back-to-back. Hockey, tough loss for the Islanders on the road Monday, 2-1 in the desert against the Coyotes. Isles coach Barry Trotz.
We talk about a game of inches. It's really a game of centimeters right now. So we just battled through that. Our team kept battling, and that's something that's a real positive. I mean, I thought, as much as they deserve to win my game, so did we.
Anthony Beauvillier, the lone goal in a losing cause. The loss keeps New York tied for third in the Metro with Columbus, who plays tonight. As does New Jersey. They visit St. Louis at 8 o'clock. Both New York teams skate on Wednesday. Mets and Yankees are in Florida for spring training. Mets skipper Luis Rojas on the optimism for Yoenis Cespedes.
He hasn't missed a beat facing pitchers. You know, he's ticking the ball. He hit a shot that just went foul a little bit up front, but I mean, he's got so much power. The ball left the yard there on field 7 on a slider. So we'll see his progression, how he keeps going.
Games begin on Saturday. College basketball, Xavier beat St. John 77-74. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thanks, Rob. We're coming up to 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Trump's tariffs haven't rescued American steel. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. It's been almost 2 years since President Trump announced new tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. We must not let our country, companies, and workers be taken advantage of any longer, he tweeted at the time. Things have gone just fine for the country since then, but not for companies and workers in the U.S. steel and aluminum industries. The company's share prices have collapsed, while metals industry employment is now lower than it was when the tariffs were announced. The tariffs aren't to blame for the industry's troubles. A global industrial slump is. But the president's habit of pulling out all the stops to help struggling sectors, coal is another, seems self-defeating. An industrial policy of picking winners is hard enough to get right, but you're stacking the deck against yourself if you focus on the losers. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Shortly after the San Francisco 49ers punched their ticket to the Super Bowl, tight end George Kittle appeared in the locker room wearing a unique outfit. It was a large white T-shirt with a shirtless photo of the 49ers quarterback. It instantly went viral online and on social media. It was sent to him by John Wolf, an MBA student at Columbia Business School, whose tiny T-shirt company called Shirtfaced dates back to a class project. The buzz around the shirt was a dream for Wolf. Wolf and a friend launched Shirtfaced back in 2018 through a Columbia class that Wolf took called Launch Your Startup. Their small company lets users upload photos and design their own shirt. Wolf says that while interning for an NFL team last year, he came up with a new marketing idea of sending shirts to players and coaches, hoping that they'd wear the shirts in interviews and other appearances. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thanks. Wall Street gets an early look at February manufacturing today when the New York Fed issues its regional factory index. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Economists are forecasting today's regional report, one of many from the Fed system, will point to growth, providing evidence that manufacturing could be poised to stabilize after a challenging year. In January, the New York Fed's factory index rose to 4.8, the highest since May. Over the next 10 days, we'll also get regional factory data from the Fed's district banks in Philadelphia, Dallas, Richmond, and Kansas City. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are falling this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. As you said, stocks are trading lower after Apple said quarterly sales would miss forecasts due to the coronavirus. The Dow is down 167 points, S&P lower by 14, with the NASDAQ off 71 points. U.S. 10-year yield is at 1.54%. Shanghai fluctuated overnight, and European markets are moving lower, led by losses in the U.K. and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing, and at 10 o'clock, NAHB Housing Market Index. Apple shares are down 3.4% after saying the fallout from the coronavirus would cause it to miss sales targets, and Walmart's holiday sales and outlook for the year missed analyst expectations. Regarding deals, Dow Jones reported that Dell is near a deal to sell its security unit to private equity for $2 billion. In other news, HSBC plans to cut more than 35,000 jobs. Shares fell more than 6% in London. Wrapping things up, Morgan Stanley raised its Tesla bull case to $1,200 a share. Alliance Data was cut to market perform over at JMP, and Ameren was raised to buy from neutral at Citi. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen?
Bailey, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Michael Bloomberg is qualified to join the other Democratic presidential candidates on the debate stage for the first time tomorrow night. According to an NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll, he reached 19% support in the national survey released today. His fourth with more than 10% support, meeting the DNC's debate threshold. Bernie Sanders is first with 31%. Michael Bloomberg is second. Joe Biden is third with 15%. And we should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. The Boy Scouts of America has filed for bankruptcy protection as it faces a barrage of new sex abuse lawsuits. In sports, Denny Hamlin won the Daytona 500. Meanwhile, Ryan Newman is in serious condition after a scary crash at the finish. In the NHL, the Islanders lost along with the Capitals. Finally, from Daybreak on, the Bloomberg gift cards may be easy presents, but they're often left unused. According to Bankrate.com, more than $20 billion in unredeemed cards and store credit is floating around the U.S. Half of all adults have about $167 in some form of unused credit. And Nathan, about one quarter of adults have allowed a gift card to expire.
Well, I don't know about adults, but I can certainly vouch for that when it comes to my kids, Michael. They have so many unused gift cards in their dresser drawers, I can barely fit their gym socks in them anymore.
See? And you have a gift card for gym socks, that's messed up.
Right. Well, I'll use them. That's what I'm saying. You know, keep them coming. I will use them.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air. I'll be by your house. And on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, Michael Barr with Jim Sox. This is this here is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Bet it is. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. And it is now time to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Trump beginning a West Coast campaign swing today in Los Angeles. He'll be out west for the next few days. The Trump administration is considering a new wave of tech export restrictions on China, and India is signaling new trade concessions ahead of the president's visit to that country next week. Also making news this morning, a new poll that will mean a new face on the Democratic debate stage tomorrow night. Joining us here with more from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And we heard from Michael Barr just moments ago, Kate, about this poll that will put Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg Radio parent company Bloomberg LP, on tomorrow night's Las Vegas debate stage. How much does this shake things up?
Well, I think it definitely is a key development and a key moment for the Bloomberg campaign and for the Democratic race for the nomination. Obviously, Bloomberg's been rising in polls. He's been getting a lot of attention. He's been drawing, by some accounts, support, particularly from Biden. And so I think that this, you know, there's been a lot of questions out there about whether these debates actually change anything. But I think that this could be potentially a game changer for this debate, and it may have an impact on the Nevada caucuses.
And I mean, this will be the first time we've seen Michael Bloomberg as a presidential candidate on the debate stage. I would have to think that his competitors in the Democratic primary race are going to be focusing a lot of their fire on him tomorrow night.
You would think so. And I think it's also an important moment because, you know, his campaign thus far has been very, very focused on advertising. A lot of people have seen these commercials that have been running in various states. But this is going to be a chance to see Michael Bloomberg from a different perspective, for voters to see him, you know, lined up with his rivals for the nomination. And so I think that that is going to be a different perspective for voters. And I think it'll be very interesting to see how he does.
And we should also say that Bernie Sanders particularly has been ramping up a lot of his critiques against Michael Bloomberg in just the last few days. How could that potentially play out on the debate stage?
Well, that'll be a particularly interesting dynamic to watch, the Sanders-Bloomberg dynamic. And I think that, you know, part and parcel of that is the Biden-Bloomberg dynamic, because I think part of why we're seeing Bernie Sanders take the approach that he is there's been a lot of, you know, musing out there about whether or not Bloomberg is rivaling Biden at this point for kind of the centrist alternative, is becoming the centrist alternative to Biden as his campaign is, you know, really struggling at this point. And so I think that watching the interaction between the three of those candidates is going to be fascinating.
How is Biden retooling his campaign after the losses, the disappointing results for him in Iowa and New Hampshire?
Well, I think that he's trying to do a lot more kind of public events ahead of Nevada and trying to, you know, we're hearing a bit of a different tone from him. For a long time, he was sort of the self-proclaimed, and a lot of the polling supported this, front runner prior to Iowa and New Hampshire. He was widely viewed as the candidate to beat. And so I think the tone is a bit different now. It's a bit more humble. There's a bit more of a sense that he, you know, knows that he needs to perform well, but trying to deliver crisp speeches and look forward, not backwards.
And how much attention is going to be potentially on Pete Buttigieg, who was the winner of the Iowa caucuses and hasn't seemed to get much more attention than that beyond the Iowa result?
Yeah, and so he's been an interesting candidate to watch because, you know, the bit of the moment that Bloomberg seems to be having this week, you know, was sort of Buttigieg's moment a week ago or 2 weeks ago now. And so I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see once we have another round of results, you know, how the field is reshuffled, because it seems as though every news cycle, every, you know, 24-48 hour news cycle is shifting things around right now. And so I think we need, you know, another round of voting. And then, you know, looking ahead to South Carolina and Super Tuesday, that's kind of the next sort of set of, you know, moments for this race, and things can shift very, very quickly.
Also part of the current news cycle, arguably, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, who just made his first public appearance since the impeachment trial, and isn't exactly mincing words when it comes to what could be coming out of his forthcoming book.
No, he isn't at all. And I think that, you know, I think we know that John Bolton at this point is a genius at selling books, because everyone's going to be so interested to see this book when it does come out. And so, but I think the key takeaway right now is that, you know, he's said that the government's reviewing the manuscript of his book, and that he has concerns that essentially it's going to be censored because of some of the things that he's said about his interactions with Trump, which he says the White House is essentially claiming, you know, might be national security breaches.
Is there a concern at the White House with John Bolton inserting himself still after impeachment that that could affect his reelection prospects?
I think that's a possibility, but I do think really overall this whole impeachment issue has pretty much been put to bed in the sense of how it's going to influence the election, just because, you know, there could be these additional bombshells, but there kind of have been right along. And I just think that for most voters, it's either a non-issue or they've already made up their mind about it.
Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. And you can read more of what's happening in the nation's capital at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Grain Report, and here's Bob Boone. Bob.
Americans use more than 380 billion single-use plastic bags a year. Or do they? Advocates in New York cited that figure when they pushed successfully for a statewide bag ban that takes effect next month. And it came up again in news reports when Oregon's ban took effect January 1st. Google search results show the statistics surfacing on millions of websites across the globe, in everything from blogs about sea turtles to municipal government websites. States across the country are relying on the data point to estimate their own plastic waste. The estimate is often linked to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, although it's unclear if the EPA backs it. It appears in a 2016 blog post written by an EPA employee, which doesn't link to any data backing up the number. The EPA declined to comment on the record about where the figure came from. One industry group contends the data doesn't exist to prove that bag bans are the right thing to do. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Walmart. It delivered a double whammy to investors as holiday sales could not meet did not meet expectations, and its outlook for the current year failed to impress investors. Shares are down about 0.7% this morning. Also continue to watch Apple, down 3.6% this morning. Futures lower. S&P futures down about 17 points. Dow futures down 185. And NASDAQ futures are down 77. 10-year Treasury up 13/32. Yield 1.53%. The yield on the 2-year 1.39%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.